Stampede Blue. What we talking about? Indianapolis, AFC South. Stampede Blue, let's air it out. Fly route, let's air it out. Topics, loaded like offense, Colt-centric.
Welcome back to another Stampede Blue Colts cast. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for coming back to the show. Sorry for the delay in getting some shows up this week. Been sick, did not really feel like coming down here and talking, to be perfectly honest with you, through the week. But back, I'm going to have a show today. I'm going to put up a show tomorrow, more than likely, and try to get you guys at least a couple more things for your ears before the Colts kick off on Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons week 3. Colts 1-1, looking to improve to 2-1. This would be the first time in a long time the Colts started the season 2-1. I mean, and I think that they've kind of got things set up to where you feel like they have a legit shot at making that happen. Starting out 0-1, coming back last week, you know, despite Adam Vinatieri's issues with the kicking, Jacoby Brissett came through. The defense came through, mostly in the passing game, but we had some things happen. Some things went well for the Colts. They helped them get their first victory of the season. And I think, like I said, with the Colts, you know, now at home hosting the Atlanta Falcons, I think things are really shaping up for the Colts to definitely put a real game together. I think that most people, when you look at both of these teams, would probably tell you that the Colts, they would feel, have a pretty damn good shot at actually making this happen. So I'm hoping that they can win this. I do believe with our predictions for the first quarter of the season with Jim that I predicted them to lose this game. This is obviously taking a turn. We've seen the Colts in action. I told you guys this would kind of be, you know, the way it would be. We've seen the Falcons in action, and, you know, things are a lot closer. If not, the Colts probably, in my opinion, should probably be favored in this one. But that's kind of neither here nor there at this point. We're kind of just looking at what we can see, what we know to be true heading into this week 3 game for the Colts. And we'll see what they've got. We're going to look at some stats in the second half of the show. First, I want to get you guys caught up on some news that as late as we've gotten it up to date now. We've gotten the final injury report for the Colts. As you guys have probably know by now, Darius Leonard is out. Jabal Sheard is out. Darius Leonard did not practice all week. We did actually get to see Jabal Sheard with limited action for the last 3 days. He's still out. They're just still not comfortable with him. Maybe it's him not quite so comfortable with that knee, but he's listed as out as well. This should be really interesting for the linebackers that are going to be, you know, stepping up and stepping in place for Darius Leonard. I mean, you've got EJ Speed. The Colts have Bobby Okereke. They've got a little bit of versatility with Walker in there as well. So I think that people liked what they saw out of Okereke enough through the preseason. I think the Colts really liked what they got. Frank Reich said that, you know, he deserved more playing time. He's going to get it, okay? With Matthew Adams in there switching in and out as a Sam, this kind of really is going to be very interesting. I mean, do we stumble upon another Darius Leonard with Okereke? Does EJ Speed really contribute? I don't know. I would presume that largely he's going to be the special teams guy. Maybe he'll get worked in there a little bit as a backup. And he's actually, if I'm not mistaken, technically Darius Leonard's backup on the unofficial depth chart. So this linebacking core, you know, they've got their work cut out for them, guys. I mean, we've got two rookies going up against a third-year guy and a second-year guy in this linebacking core. And the Colts are going to be going up against Matt Ryan, a very savvy passer. Not having a great season right now, but don't discount it. I mean, you know, the guy's been in the league for a long time, and he's picked on plenty of rookies and second-year guys before. So this will be very interesting. These guys are going to have to really follow the game plan. They're going to really have to know their keys and defend them. And they're going to have to be good against the run. The Colts haven't been great against the run. Last week, we saw the Colts, you know, with Derrick Henry really struggle to bring him down. He's an odd back, though, so he's not the normal back. But they're still going to have their hands cut out for him, or they're still going to have their hands full and their work cut out for them, rather, against the Falcons in their running attack, too. the Falcons, I mean, look, guys, we are going to be facing one of the best receivers in the NFL that most of us have ever seen. So with that, this is going to be a balanced attack from the Falcons. They're going to try to pick on our rookies there in the linebacking core. They're going to try to get some passes off quickly. The Colts have a pretty damn good pass rush right now with 8 sacks through the first 2 weeks. Granted, I'll you know, being that I didn't really get to go back on week 2's game at the beginning of the week like I planned to, this is really, you know, something different. The first week we saw a lot of, you know, real-time sacks, if you will. Last week we saw a couple of those, if not maybe 3 of them, being coverage sacks, which isn't a bad thing. It means that our guys are covering on the back end. But it also is, it's not pure pass rush sacks. I mean, they are not 3 seconds and sacked, 2.5 seconds and sacked. These were 4-5 second sacks, and that's okay, because if the coverage is holding up on the back end and our guys are still getting that second and third move, that just tells you that they're determined and that they're getting forward and they are making some moves. So we'll talk some more about this, and we'll just kind of lead into this. Al-Kadeem Muhammad, full participant the past 2 days, was limited on Wednesday. Good news, Kamoko Ture was also limited Wednesday. Thursday and Friday, a full participant. That's going to be big for the Colts, having those two, especially Ture, with what he's shown so far this week or this year in terms of pass rush, speed rush. You see that he's getting – we talked about this in preseason even, but it was obvious to me when I spoke to you guys about it. You're seeing the power of Kamoko's secondary move. It's more of a flash. It's more lightning quick. There's more power behind it. He's gained a little bit of that. He's getting taught by Robert Mathis, you know, the importance of having that secondary move, how important it is to really smash and to be able to swim and everything that he's doing. And he looks good doing it. Hopefully he is actually healthy enough to put forth what he's learned, and he's not kind of, you know, in the rough in terms of not fully healthy, but healthy enough to play kind of thing. So let's hope for that. But that's a good sign for those two being ready to go. Jacoby Brissett was on the injury report with a knee. He's full all week. Marlon Mack did not practice Wednesday and Thursday, was limited today, which is Friday. He's listed as questionable going into the week. Many reporters, many of our beat guys have said that they expect Mack to play. No determination as in terms of, you know, specifically saying that he's going to play, but they expect him to play. I'm assuming that they just don't feel that his issue is all that in question. So that's a good thing as well. Pierre Desir also limited the first 2 days this week. Friday was a full participant today. That's good news. He's had a pretty solid season so far, looking good. The secondary is really good. And we have to love what Quincy Wilson's been bringing to the table, guys. Last week he was excellent. Got that BSPI call on him. Didn't deserve that. Ended up kind of sealing the game with some more great coverage. So really happy with what Quincy Wilson's bringing to the table, and hoping he can do that continually, and that Pierre Desir is, again, fully back, ready to go, and ready to continue to play well and be physical. You have to like what we saw. Now, just as an aside here, not necessarily injury report related, but you have to like what we saw out of Kari Willis. Big time improvement between week 1 and week 2. Super physical line of scrimmage coming up and making plays with short gains, no gains, that kind of thing. Really like what he's done. And I'm kind of indifferent right now to Clayton Gethers. He's okay. I think Kari Willis is going to bypass him, and I think it's going to be sooner rather than later, to be perfectly honest. Regardless of how they've got Willis listed in terms of his position, it doesn't matter to me. He's a physical dude. He's going to come up. He's going to make plays, and he's continued to do that. Now, if we can see that his coverage is improving and continues to rise, then Clayton Gethers is going to be out of a job sooner rather than later. So that's something to keep an eye on this week. I don't care who plays as long as they're playing well. I've not been impressed with Gethers the first 2 weeks anyhow. Like I said, Kari Willis was not great in week 1. Last week he was fantastic. I'd love to see him be another big physical guy at coming up in run support to stop Atlanta's running attack. I mean, the Colts defense needs that bad. They need some big stops. put that on Matt Ryan's shoulders. Allow what's been working well for the Colts to be what they try to pick on. Let them try to throw the ball a bunch. The Colts are doing well. They are leaving a bunch of zones open, but they're also closing. They're forcing turnovers. They didn't last week. However, this is still a defense that does force turnovers. We are seeing that. We saw it last year. This is going to be a fun game to watch these guys, see if they can stop that run. See if the guys up front can stop that run as well, not let it get to the second and third levels of the Colts defense. And hopefully the Colts can, you know, force Matt Ryan to have to try to take the onus on his own shoulders and try to win that game for Atlanta. That, in my opinion, greatly benefits the Colts and what they're trying to do. Another note, Jonathan Williams, he's listed as questionable. Last 2 days, a full participant. Running back, it's good to have that running back, that backfield healthy and ready to go. Jordan Wilkins last week came through. I told you guys that I thought that if they get him some serious snaps, that he's going to break out. He's got plenty of wheels. He's a more physical version of running back, what they want. Williams is basically built the same way. So if Matt can't go a bunch, I think they've got a more physical backfield with Wilkins and Williams, and I think that that's okay. Mack will come in. He'll be in there if he does play, that is, and he'll provide some of that speed. They still need to run between the tackles with him because he can get through and get to that second level much quicker, in my opinion, than the other two. That's going to be something to keep our eyes on. How does the rushing attack continue with Mack kind of beat up, but with the two more physical guys who still have some pretty solid wheels, how do they do it? You know, we see Wilkins constantly. It seems like he gets maybe 4 or 5 carries a game, but one of those carries always seems to be 20, 25 yards. And that, I'm not trying to say that it's like that every time he steps on the field. It is interesting that he does break some big gains. He has a real boost when he gets through that initial line. He's not long. He doesn't have long speed, but he does have 20, 30, 40 yards speed. You know, he's not going to outrun a corner. He's not going to outrun some of the faster safeties, but he's faster than most of the linebackers, and he's very, very north and south in terms of hitting that hole and making the best out of what he's got. So I like the Colts backfield, regardless of how beat up Marlon Mack is. I think that you might have a better receiving core out of the backfield with these two. It'll be interesting to kind of see how that works out. Zach Pascal, new to the injury report this week or this day today, was a full participant with a shoulder injury. Denico Autry, he also new to the injury report, did not practice Friday. So it'll be interesting to see what they have with him. He does not have a designation at the time. As well as T.Y. Hilton. Hilton was limited all week. He's listed as questionable with his quad injury. So a lot of things to keep our eyes on. And then there were some rest days for Costanzo, Gethers, and Houston as well. So be interesting to see what the Colts have in this and see where they're at right now in terms of, you know, how healthy are they really coming into week 3. Hopefully they are very healthy. I think that the Colts have a legit shot pulling this out. In other news, the Colts signed running back Darius Jackson to the practice squad, released running back David Williams from the practice squad. Not big news, but still news. You see that what we've got with Chris Ballard, and they're constantly churning the backfield, constantly churning the back end of the roster. Exciting to see, and I think that the Colts, in large part, will have, you know, what they want, just like we thought that they did last year. So it'll be interesting to see what the Colts do from there. And just in general, I think that the Colts have a very good shot at making a real run at this. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. I'm going to throw some stats at you guys, kind of discern what we think between the Colts and the Falcons as they head into week 3. And we'll talk about some, not I wouldn't say discrepancies, but we'll talk about some real areas of concern for the Falcons and maybe an area of concern or two for the Colts as well heading in. So we'll be right back after this.
Okay, guys, I want to talk to you about TickPick. TickPick is a great way to get tickets to see the Colts or any other sports, music, or entertainment event of your choice. Not only will you save 10 to 15% off every ticket order, you can do it without any annoying fees at checkout. Think StubHub, but without the fees. Just head to TickPick.com, select your seats, and head to checkout. Get on your way to the next Colts game with TickPick.
All right, folks, we are back, and now we're going to look at some stats through the first couple weeks of the 2019 season. We're going to talk about a couple things that I think the Colts can really pounce on, and maybe a couple things that the Colts are going to need to do better as they head into week three against the Falcons. Like I said, Falcons are not a scrub bunch. They've got a good defense. Their offense is more than capable, and they've got some big playmakers. So this is not something that the Colts can take lightly. They do, however, have a real opportunity here to squeak out another win and get above 500 for the first time in a while through 3 weeks. So let's talk about offensively right now. The Colts, surprisingly enough, are in the top 10. They are eighth in third down percentage. And that's something that I think while we look at it during the game, you see, yes, they're doing well. They're succeeding on third down as well. But it just doesn't seem like they were succeeding at this high a clip. They're at 52% right now. Best in the league is the Cowboys at 62. A lot of 57s and 54s and 56s in there. So the Colts are among the top. They're right there. Another good week, a good week on third down. Colts could be easily top five in here, as they're only, you know, a few spots. An improvement of a couple percent puts them in the top five. So this is going to be very interesting to see where they go with this. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, you've got the Atlanta Falcons. The Colts defense has been pretty solid through the first couple weeks. Some good, some bad, nothing spectacular. But the Falcons are god-awful on third down. This is going to help the Colts. Now, this, obviously, we need Brissett to start pushing the ball downfield. Frank Reich talked about it after last week's game that the Colts were planning to go downfield, be a little more aggressive with Brissett, but just didn't get to those plays. The Colts need to put some points on the board, and they need to be touchdowns and not rely on Vinatieri or anybody else for that matter for 3 points with a field goal. I mean, let's just be honest. That's normal football anyhow, but with the way Vinatieri has been, you know, pretty, you know, unreliable to this point, the Colts really need to put the ball in the end zone. I think they can do that. I don't think there's too much of an issue with that, but the Falcons are awful, 28% on third down right now, 26th in the league. This isn't going to be something that they can continue and even stay in the game, honestly. They've had some really low-scoring games, some slow starting games. It'll be interesting to see what the Colts can do with that on third down. Now, we look at an area where the Colts are struggling, but we're also lucky enough, I think, to where we acknowledge that the Falcons are struggling as well. They just happen to look and appear to be in a much better position right now than what the Colts are. And this is a bit of a difference. It's only through two games, so these averages can obviously sway kind of quite a bit per week right now, while all the stats are kind of still low numbered and all that. But we're looking at yards per play. This is a big deal. I mean, you look at yards per game, that's not really all that important. It depends on yards per play, in my opinion, to be a little bit of a greater factor in success, especially offensively. You know, the bend don't break defense, not such a big deal, especially if you're quality and you're good inside the red zone. This is more of a telling sign here offensively, in my opinion. The Falcons are 16th in the league at 5.6 yards per play. The Colts are all the way down at 23rd with 5.2. That's, to me, concerning. We are only 2 weeks in. Jacoby Brissett is still sort of gaining his legs, if you will. And it's one of those things where you just look to see, can the Colts really start to pile on? Can the Colts go downfield, be aggressive, use their running game as a supplement to the passing game, being that it's successful right now, the running game, that is. So I'm kind of interested in this, and I want to see the Colts have a much better game in that regard. The Colts aren't blowing it up with passing numbers. They've had a couple of good rushing games overall, but you see Mack. I mean, you go from 175 yards to what, 40, 50, whatever he had the you know, in week two. That's a big difference. Granted, 175 yards is a monster game. We need him, and we need this rushing attack to be 150, 175 yards for the team to continue to be able to pass the ball. Because, look, in my opinion, Reich in week two got a little, you know, he was a – I think that he was just a little too obvious and predictable in what he was doing at times. Some of the outside zone runs are just not being very effective. Some of the bigger plays are coming off outside zone runs. But in general, when he starts running those, it's kind of taking away from that between the tackles look that the Colts are really doing right now, doing really well right now with their front five. You know, this offensive line is an offensive line that I think the Colts are really building off of as well. Let's look at one more. Time of possession here. We see the Colts, again, maintaining the ball, holding possession. They're eighth in the league with over 32 minutes of time of possession. And then you look at Atlanta on the other hand, and they're 23rd with 28 minutes. So there's basically about 2 minutes a game that the Colts are holding the ball more. That's a touchdown. That's definitely a touchdown in this. So that is something that we need to look at, kind of find what the Colts are doing, what they're doing well. Can they continue that? And so on and so forth. Let's look now at the turnover differential. The Colts right now are 18th in the league. They are even. You know, didn't 1-2-0 in the turnover game in week one. In week two, they lost 2-0. So you've got that. The Atlanta Falcons, on the other hand, they're -3. So this is a good sign for the Colts. You see, the Colts defense is a team that is going to turn people over, and you like to see that. You want to see the Colts continuing to turn them over. The good thing is that their defense obviously doesn't appear to be turning much over at all. So that's another good thing for the Colts heading into week three. I think the Colts have the better offense all around. I mean, it isn't as aggressive. It's not as kind of that high point. It's not got that ceiling that I don't think that the Falcons have right now. But Jacoby Brissett's making plays when he has to. The running game is working pretty well. The front line is doing a nice job in protection as well as in the run game. And the receivers aren't dropping a bunch of balls. So this will be very interesting coming into this week, what the Colts can do on offense. We need to see them a little more exciting, I think. And when I say exciting, need to churn out some more of them big plays. Continue on defense to limit big plays, but continue to churn them out offensively. Let's look at the defensive side of the ball right now. Colts, and we're talking about third down percentage here. The Falcons and the Colts are, like I said, this is only through 2 weeks, but it's somewhat telling. Okay, now defensively, the Colts are in the middle of the pack here, sitting at 15th with a 38% allowance on third down. That's not terrible. And you look at some of the high numbers, though. We're talking the Browns and the Patriots are, and let's see, the Bears even, all under 20% on third down allowing. That's insane. Those are insane numbers. Those are going to level out a little bit. The Colts have to maintain where they're at. 38% is pretty impressive right now, and I think the Colts can be a little better, but that's pretty damn good. You know, if you consider, you can string that along throughout a full season, that's pretty good. Falcons defensively are at 50% on third down. Good. The Colts have a better offense on third down than the Falcons. They have a better defense on third down than the Falcons, and vice versa. So this is playing into the Colts' hands right here. These things right now are absolutely a benefit to what the Colts can do and what they should do this week. The Colts, in my opinion, should win this game. If I'm not mistaken, I think I picked the Falcons to win this one, and I feel like it's continuing to sway me. Yes, is this just stat monkeying around? I don't know. But you've seen the Falcons. You guys saw their play. They won it basically on the last play of the game. Their defense did stiffen a little bit, kept them from getting a first down when they needed to against the Eagles. I just don't think they can do that very much with the Colts. Now, obviously, we need Jacoby Brissett to continue his play, but I think that the Colts are in pretty good shape here. Now, let's look at yards per play defensively. Now, I told you I didn't think this was quite as important as offensive yards per play because of red zone issues and efficiency and all that. But the Colts are sitting at 18th, allowing 5.9 yards per play. Not bad. That's probably where you're going to see the Colts throughout the majority of the season, in my opinion. I would think so anyways. I just don't think they're going to be super great or super bad at this. I think they're going to be very middle of the pack, especially with what their defense really does for the most part. The Falcons, on the other hand, they're fifth in the league, allowing only 4.6 yards per play. That's pretty impressive. I mean, you look at what they've done so far, they've allowed 22 points a game. That's nothing special. I mean, they're just not, you know, there's nothing big or bad about that. It, on the other hand, you know, that's just where they're at. So let's look at that right now. The Falcons right now are allowing 24 points a game, excuse me. The Colts are allowing 23.5. So this is going to be very close throughout the game, in my opinion. I think that the Colts really have to gain some points early, and they have to be able to stop the Falcons, got to be able to turn them over. Of course, these are keys to the game anytime, anywhere that you ever look at an NFL game. So I think and now I'm just going to go ahead and predict this, because I'm really looking for a big game defensively from somebody. I think Quincy Wilson is prime for a pick. And I think that Quincy Wilson's prime for a pick six. He's been good in coverage. I think that you could expect possibly a tip pass, or you could expect him to just bite on something. He's feeling good. I wouldn't say he's feeling cocky, but he's definitely confident right now. And I think that you'll probably see that, especially out of the nickel, some of those outbreaking routes. You'll probably see him try to break on one of those. If he doesn't get it himself, I think he could tip the pass and create it for someone else. So I'm looking for a big game from Quincy Wilson. I'm just going to go ahead and call pick six real quick. Offensively, I think that the Colts need another good game out of the backfield. And I'm too soft right now, knowing kind of where Mac actually is in the process, to predict anything. There's no way in hell I'm going to predict 2 weeks in a row that Wilkins is going to have a big game. But let's look offensively at T.Y. Hilton. Now, Hilton is kind of banged up. I mean, this dude is always banged up when he comes in. It makes you worry that he could possibly get injured in the beginning of the game. However, if he stays healthy, he's going to have a 100-yard game, and he's going to have 2 touchdowns. I have no problem saying that, if he stays healthy. On the other end of the spectrum, I think Deion Kane really needs his, you know, he needs a touchdown. I'm going to give him one, too. So I'm doing a little bit of a combination from the receiving core, and I'm going to say that Hilton gets his 100-yard game and 2 touchdowns. I'm going to give Deion Kane a touchdown. I don't care if it's in from the 1-yard line in this. And it might even be a rushing touchdown. I don't care. One way or another, I think the Colts receivers are primed for a really big game this week. I'd like to see Brissett continue his completion rate from week one, really. But I want to see them kind of transition into a more aggressive attack. Don't be surprised if Brissett throws an interception this week. I think Frank Reich is really going to want to try to take some advantage of what the Falcons do defensively and where their weak points are. So this is going to be a fun game, I think. This is going to be a very fun game. And we might even come out of this game. I think that the Colts could win this by 10 points. I think it's completely fathomable. And we as fans may come out of this week going, maybe the Colts actually got something here. Maybe they're going to do it. I mean, their first 3 games haven't been against world beaters, so let's not pretend that the Chargers or, you know, even the Falcons this week or the Tennessee Titans, who just got beat by the Jaguars and Gardner Minshew, are some sort of, you know, Super Bowl contenders. I don't think that's the facts at all. However, I do think that the Colts needed these 3 games, especially if they beat the Falcons, to kind of get their footing and get themselves ready for a real push and get some of that confidence back that they may be or may have been without. So very interested for this game. This is going to be a fun one, guys. So I'm going to try to put something together for tomorrow before we go up. If there's nothing really to talk about, I'm probably just going to wait and do the post game on Sunday night and have that up for you first thing Monday morning, which will probably end up being Sunday night here locally. So hopefully you guys enjoy this game. Hopefully the Colts don't come into this with a real potential to win and then lay some stinking egg. This doesn't feel like that kind of a game to me at all. I don't think the Colts are looking past anybody. The Falcons, they know, have, you know, the weapons that they need to put some points on the board, and they're going to take this seriously. But I really think that the Colts have another big week. So I'm getting the Colts the win in this one. I'm going against what I believe was my prediction a few weeks ago for this week. So the Colts are going to win, and I'm going to give them that. I'm going to give them a 9-point win, okay? I'm going to give them the 9-point win. I'm going to give them 28, and I'm going to give them 19, because I think that the Falcons can only get in the end zone once. I think they're going to get 4 field goals. Colts defense is going to stiffen, and they're going to keep that in check. So I'm going to go 28-19. Colts come out of week 3, 2-1, and impressing us all, and we've got a lot to talk about Sunday night. That's what I've got for you. So thank you guys all for listening. Make sure you guys get to Stampede Blue. Got some really good articles up there right now. Some of the most underrated things and some of the most underappreciated articles anywhere are Film Room. Zach Hicks has a real good film room on the Colts pass rush right now. You guys need to check that out. And there's a lot of other news and notes on the site as well that you guys need to check out. So make sure you guys are getting to Stampede Blue for that. Also, get us a rating and review on the podcast on iTunes. Appreciate your feedback in all ways, shapes, and forms. But guys, we've got a big game here. Colts Falcons home opener. Let's do this, and I'll talk to you guys on Sunday night. So thank you guys all for listening, and I'll talk to you next time right here on the Colts Cast. Stampede Blue.